As I have repeatedly pointed out, we must guard our conception of the metaphysical translation of matter, and watch that we do not get the erroneous impression that many seem to have, that when we have resolved matter into thought, we have spiritualized matter, and gotten the spiritual truth back of that which calls itself matter. We have not spiritualized matter by resolving matter into thought, and we have not begun to get at the spiritual fact concerning which matter is the lie. We have simply taken the mask off of matter and seen it for what it is. Matter is thought, and there is no more spirituality in the thought than there is in the matter, because matter is thought. They are not two. They are one and the same thing. So, in resolving things into thoughts, do not become confused with the suggestion that the thought back of the material thing is the spiritual fact about the thing. The fact about matter is that, inasmuch as it is a figment of thought or mortal mind, and inasmuch as there is in reality, as Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, quote, no mortal mind out of which to make material beliefs springing from illusion, close quote, there is, therefore, no matter. And in treating disease, that fact must be perfectly clear in our thinking, that there is no matter, and hence no material condition to be met or cured. In translating material things in their native element, mortal mind, or thought, as I say, we have simply unmasked matter, and we see it for what it is. Nothing. If matter exists as substance instead of thought, we never could heal it by right thinking. It is because matter and its accompaniments exist as wrong thought that we are able to bring a material change by right thinking. Matter and its sicknesses are simply our thoughts, our mortal thoughts externalized to our human consciousness. And therefore, if our thinking is changed, the objects of our thoughts must change to correspond to our thinking. If mortal thought tells us that there is a sick man before us, and through our understanding of truth we change our thinking about that, then the object of our thoughts changes accordingly. If mortal thought tries to bring us a sick man to heal, and our thought is so clear that a sick man does not exist in our thinking, then that which has claimed to be a sick man will respond to our correct view, and we behold a well man. God never made a sick man. Therefore, the only reality a sick man has is what we give it in thought. So we see that when Christian Science resolves things into thoughts, it has not spiritualized things at all. It has simply removed the mask, and matter appears for just what it is. But that is not where Mrs. Eddy leaves the situation. She does not say that, quote, metaphysics resolves things into thoughts, close quote, and then leave it there, because no particular good would come from simply knowing what matter is. There must be a remedy. When we have resolved a thing into a thought, what then? Are we in any better position to cope with the situation? Is a thought less real than the thing itself when one realizes that the thing is a thought? No. Mrs. Eddy then goes on to give us the remedy. She says, quote, metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense, which of course is the thing or the thought, for the ideas of soul. Close quote. Note that she does not say that the objects of sense or matter is changed into ideas of soul. She says that these objects of sense or thought are exchanged for the ideas of soul. That is, instead of changing matter into spirit or into the spiritual, we exchange the thought which claims to be matter by putting in its place a spiritual idea or spiritual ideas. So, in reality, the translation of the material universe into the spiritual reality does not mean that we are changing mentally the material into the spiritual. It means that we are replacing the material with the spiritual. And how is this done? Has God created two universes, one the material and the other the spiritual? Has God created the spiritual universe as real and the material universe as unreal? Has God ever created anything that would interfere with or change His vast spiritual universe of ideas? The answer to all of these questions is an obvious no. Then, what do we do in making this change from the material to the spiritual? Why, the process is simply to become so clear in our understanding of the nothingness of matter that we can see, mentally, that all is, as Mrs. Eddy puts in the Scientific Statement of Being, quote, infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, close quote. There is no matter, and there is no mortal mind. Therefore, we do not treat matter, and we do not treat mortal mind. We put in their place ideas of divine mind or soul. And thus we have our patient and all that claims to be matter with him completely removed from the picture of matter, and in his place we have God's creation, perfect, spiritual, and eternal. And right in this connection, I want to take up another phase of the work which seems to confuse many, although they do not seem to know it. So many people come to me and say that they can understand perfectly what is said about spiritual man and his perfection, etc., but they do not see how to apply that to this so-called material man in a way that will heal him. Now, that is a very natural question, and it is, I am sure, quite a universal quandary among scientists in general. It is, furthermore, a point upon which every one of us must be clear before we can do a great deal along the line of healing. The trouble with most of us in our metaphysical work is that we are endeavoring to heal a sick man. We are trying to make a metaphysical fact fit a physical mistake. We are trying to correct matter with spirit. We are seeing man as two instead of one. We are seeing man as spiritual and at the same time in a state of error, which needs to be corrected with truth. Now, understand this. You cannot apply a metaphysical fact to a physical error. That is, you cannot correct that which does not exist by the application of spirit. Metaphysics does not really correct. It supplants. Is there any matter? Is there any sick matter? Is there a material man? Is there any materially sick man? Is there a mind which argues that there is matter, or material man, or sickness? To these questions also there is but one answer, an imperative no. If there is any matter, if there is a material man, if there is any sickness, then you must give up the idea that God and his spiritual creation are omnipotent. If there are no such things as matter, material man, or sickness, what then is there to heal? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You cannot make metaphysics relative. That is, there is no relative condition existing in science. There is not a so-called materially sick man who needs to be healed. Get clear in your thought that in any condition, under any circumstance, with any problem of mortal mind, there is but one thing worthy of consideration, and that is the absolute, the perfect, the spiritual. The only answer to the question as to how one is to make the spiritual fact fit the material lie is that there is no material lie. The only truth about a lie is that it is not true, does not exist, has no existence. Then why try to heal that which does not exist? Why try to treat a man for cancer when the only way to heal him is to understand clearly that there is no man with a cancer to be healed? Why try to heal a man of poverty, lack, failure, when there is no man who lacks or has failed or even made a mistake? If you admit for an instant that man can be sick, that man, your patient, yourself, lives in matter or a material body, that he can be sick, or that he has ever failed or made a mistake, then you have given the claim of error a past, a history, a place, or a condition from which it could have its origin, and you have then something that cannot be healed. If a man comes to you, a patient, to be healed of a condition which was the result of sin, would you attempt to heal that man by admitting that he had ever sinned? No, you would know that he never fell from his high estate as a son of God, that there are not two of him, one the spiritual and the perfect child of God, and the other the belief of a material man which could sin. You would know that the only reality there is man in the image and likeness of God, pure, holy, upright, and eternal. You would know that that patient never fell from his high estate, and that he has never been thrust out of spirit into matter, and that he has never been in any material condition, never been in any place or position in which God did not place him. Never fell, never sinned, never was anything less than an eternal expression of his Maker. You would see him as idea, as reflection, as expression of mind, through idea, inseparable from the mind that created him, and as such, he could never express or image forth that which did not come from his Creator. You would know that because he had never been anything less than God's perfect expression through idea, and that because he never was in the environment or influence of any but the one perfect mind or Creator, he never sinned, and that therefore he cannot suffer for that which he never did. What is it that says that a man can sin or suffer or be wicked or poverty-stricken. Certainly not God, who fills all space, knows nothing about such things. It must be mortal mind. And what is mortal mind? Does it exist? Has it a creator? Can it create?